It's Monday, and that means hour number three is the Jeff and Erica program, again reaching out to all of you with information, with facts, with, and I call it, I'm speaking for myself, speculative science. That's all we really have. We can't get in behind the front doors of Moderna, Pfizer, into these sealed laboratories. Well, we think they may be sealed. You never know what the quality control that apparently exists, some of the garbage being seen in these products. We don't know. We're doing our very best, and Erica is absolutely brilliant in her analyses of these things, and the presentations we make are designed specifically to help all of you make better decisions. And that's what journalism is all about. Welcome back, Erica.
Well, good evening, Jeff. Thanks for having me back.
It's always a pleasure. Now, I've got a little quickie here. Dr. Peter McCullough has a new video out. It looks like new anyway. Maybe he's wearing the same shirt. I don't know. But he says, real simply, the vaxxed, vaccinated, the vaxxed are super spreaders. And it's difficult to argue with that. What is real discouraging, though, is when you go down and you read the comments that come in from people. And here's the first comment. This is from Mr. Bojangles. He says, Doc, I've been told that grapefruit, lemons with pine needles, and zinc stewed up in a pot combats COVID. Can you confirm this? I live in the UK where ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine are only by prescription. P.S. I'm anti-jab. Grapefruit, lemons, and pine needles with zinc stewed up in a pot will nail COVID. This is why we're here 2-3 times a week, to try to help you understand that this kind of rhetoric needs to be taken with a half a pound of salt. At least. Anyway, I just came across that, and I thought it was pretty strange. Anything you want to add to that, Erica?
I've seen similar. I don't think it would hurt. I'm doubtful that it is enough to overcome COVID if it's, you know, a genuine infection of this synthetic biology.
Right.
But, you know, things of that nature are often light years ahead of, you know, the average person's diet nowadays. It's so toxic. So any bit of a healthy boost can often translate into, you know, noticeable benefits in some fashion. So I'm not going to knock it, but...
Yes. Sometimes people who actually begin to eat better, funniest thing, get healthier. It's kind of a miracle. No, it isn't a miracle. It's common sense. But we are toxified to the max, and that's absolutely true. I just don't want to be in a position of seeing people promise cures for COVID. I don't even know what COVID is at this point. I mean, I get the idea. I read the press releases. I hear the conversation. And then I hear the results. Drink pine needle tea, and you'll be genetically reversed. You'll be fine. So anyway, the point is, the internet, especially the alt net, is loaded with material that really is questionable, to say the least. So we'll leave it at that. It's very difficult territory out there now for even us. Does that matter?
Yeah, there is a ton of misinformation, disinformation. I pity the average person with no real scientific background to try to, you know, muster their way through it.
It's tragic. It's a tragedy. They don't have really a chance. They don't know what to believe. They don't know who to believe. And that's why we're here. And that's why what we do is done to the very best of our ability. And you have contributed mightily to this. I want to point out also that whatever COVID is, COVID-19, and whatever it was supposed to do, at this point doesn't seem to really matter. The whole conversation has shifted over to the so-called vaccines, the bioweapons that are being sold under various labels all around the world. And we're beginning to see, in my humble opinion, the beginning of the death tsunami. It's growing. There is a lot to be said for that. People are dying in the hospitals. You know about it. People who come down with myocarditis have only a 4 or 5 year lifespan to expect. And these are children. These are teens. People are dying at home. They're dying at the office. They're dying. And there's not anything that can be done about it. They're just, all you can do is cart the corpse away and notify the next of kin and hope that the day's load isn't too heavy. But it is heavy. I did reach out to a mortician or a funeral home director, whatever you want to label them, and implored the gentleman to come on because he was noticing the change in his business. His clients, even though they're no longer animated, were coming in at a more rapid rate. And I wanted him to come on the program and talk about it, but he's obviously afraid. And I'm not going to knock him for it. Nobody wants to lose their job. But if any of you out there know of anyone who is a mortician who'd like to come on the program for a bit and just talk about what they're seeing, I don't need to use their real name. I don't need to use the city, the state they're in. I just want the information. Please let me know. That would be very nice. And we will try and do that. Now, back to Erica. We know about the alleged dangers of COVID-19 and the infections and so forth. What she came up with and pieced it together brilliantly over a month ago now is the simple fact that you may be infected in a cellular sense, but the big infection, we don't know how big in comparison, may be the digestive bacteria in your own tract that has been hit and is infected and is discharging toxicity of various sorts into your body. And Erica, you want to bring us up to date where we are on that whole thing now? It was an extraordinary breakthrough, and I notice other people are now beginning to pick it up and talk about it. So you deserve the credit, so bring us up to date.
Well, really, this just goes back to this Italian research that was conducted earlier this year and subsequently peer-reviewed and published, followed up by a second study that was published in July, and it pertains to another layer or aspect of what exactly COVID-19 is. These Italian researchers were puzzled when a supposed respiratory virus was also manifesting symptoms having to do with neurological symptoms and coagulopathies, meaning blood that's thick and clotting inappropriately.
Remember the video of the cup used on the location of the injection on somebody's upper arm?
Well, that was the vaccine, but this is
to go ahead.
Right. So, you know, what's causing people to clot after the vaccine may be different than what people who have acquired the virus are experiencing, even though the end result seems to be the same. Mm. But people are dying of clots, and a lot of them were manifesting neurological symptoms, cognitive issues.
Can you elaborate on that just a bit? Neurological symptoms? Are we getting into just physiological neurology, or are we getting into emotional and personality neurological issues?
A lot of it seemed to be cognitive issues, brain fog, confusion. Mm-hmm. There was one autopsy done on a person that died of COVID last year, and they were determined at that time to have prion disease. Now, they didn't know if they had prion disease that was developing and then they were infected with the COVID, or did the COVID or SARS-CoV-2 virus induce the prion disease. So that was left open to conjecture. I mean, nobody knows because they didn't know what the status was beforehand. But certainly there were a number of hematological effects associated with COVID, as well as neurological effects. So
a real quickie here about the prions. I mentioned to you a long time ago, and I think I mentioned it here on the program as well, that I did see a paper. I don't know if it was peer-reviewed or not, but I did see a paper early on that vanished. And if any of you come across it, please send it. It had to do with the idea that upon entry, and I'm going to assume it was dealing with the mRNA, that there were three prions, proteins, attached to it, which became detached once the injection was complete. Where they went, what they did, I don't know, but they were identified as prions, prion proteins. And I don't know how that was done, but it was, and I put the paper away and it disappeared off my desk. So anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I did not come across that one. The one I do recall regarding the prion disease was the one by Bart Klassen. And there were two binding sites on the RNA that were associated with the activation of prion disease. But actual prions, I don't know. I mean, the spike protein may be inducing the misfolding of proteins once it gets into the brain. That's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But, getting back to these Italian researchers, they were puzzled as to how a supposed respiratory virus could be generating these neurological and hematological pathologies. So they began looking at other avenues that might be inducing these symptoms, and they came up with, or they determined, that this SARS-CoV-2 virus is also able to act as a bacteriophage and infect bacteria. A bacteriophage is technically a virus that's capable of infecting bacteria, and that's really quite unusual to have a virus that can infect eukaryotic cells, which are the cells that make up your body, a mammal, as well as bacterial cells being prokaryotic. These are two distinct types of cells, very different. Nonetheless, they did repeat their experiment three different times to show, at least in vitro, that this SARS-CoV-2 virus can infect and replicate in bacterial cells, which opens up the possibility of this virus, once it gets into you, if it's able to infect your unique gut microbiome or nasal cavity microbiome, what is it doing? Well, they've determined that these bacteria, if they're infected by this virus, or perhaps even when this virus is in proximity to them, they produce very, very toxic proteins in the same category as various venoms, most notably what comes out of sea snails, known as conotoxins, and in some cases, snake venoms. And anyone that's familiar with these classes of venoms, they promote, or they're renowned for inducing clotting disorders and neurological symptoms. So that may be part of what we're seeing. We don't know. I mean, this could be the binary weapon,
right,
you know, designed to do exactly that. Number one, create disease in your own body's cells by production of the spike protein. And then secondarily, if your bacteria become infected, now you've got a source of toxicity that's creating clotting issues.
You're in big trouble.
Neurological issues.
Yeah.
On maybe a subclinical level. You may be harboring this bacteria and producing these toxins at a level that you're not aware of, and the first symptom might be a stroke.
And if you were to take something to rid yourself of the bacteria, you would essentially clean out your digestive tract. There would be nothing. The chalkboard would be empty. There's nothing there.
Well, that's another strategy that has been discussed in the area of bioweapons, is to create a disease that requires antibiotics to overcome it. And yeah. then during that period, when you've pretty much wiped out all of your bacteria, good, bad, or indifferent, they introduce a second type of infectious agent that will take up residence quite readily in your body because you've got nothing to keep it at bay. And then, you know, you're in trouble.
This is more and more looking like the most diabolically sophisticated, evil, multifaceted, many-pronged weapon ever turned loose on people. And I'm not just talking about the spike protein. There are a number of things here that maybe dozens. We don't even know where this is going to end up. It's getting to be worse. And I do believe there is some mechanism by which the bioweapon injections will work quicker or more slowly on each individual, depending upon the batch it comes from. That's my guess. Now, that work is being done, and it has been produced with graphs, and it's up in the news. It will be very shortly if it isn't now. So that's something that's important that you got to watch. They say within 3 years, everyone will be gone who's going to be gone, or 5 years, whatever. But how could they possibly make it so it impacts some people now, some people later? Well, it might have to do with the amount of mRNA, for example, in Pfizer Moderna that's injected, and the accompanying spike protein load. Maybe it's lightweight and it takes more time to do more damage and it builds up to a critical mass and then you have a crisis. I don't know. But there does seem to be, everyone's not the same. Some people seem to be just fine. Maybe it's just not their time yet in terms of the mechanism of the injection that they took.
I think there's a wide range of variables. You have the injections themselves, you know, they're not standardized. There was very clearly, based on this compilation of data and the analysis of the data that's come out from primarily from the VAERS. I mean, there's 10 months, maybe 11 months of data now to draw from. Clearly, there were some batches that were, in some cases, 2,000 times more toxic than what the baseline dose was. And different companies, be it Pfizer, Moderna, or Johnson & Johnson, put out different toxic batches at different times. This is very clearly delineated now in the data. You can see it on the graph. So it was not as random as it seems. So you've got variability in the batches, but then you have variability in the people that have, you know, received the injections. Did they translate the mRNA? Older people, geriatrics, probably didn't translate that mRNA into proteins as aggressively as a young person would, just because a young person is growing. They're very good synthesizers of protein in general, whereas an older person, their metabolism is slow, and they may not have translated much of that protein. So there's that. I know there were quality control issues in the beginning last December with when they went to large scale production of these vaccines, that the quality control wasn't there, and much of the RNA, maybe up to 45% of it, was not intact. So it might have
not
been injected, but
in
it didn't
words.
Do anything.
Right. Okay. Now the other question is, could this lack of quality control have accounted for some of the differences in density of toxic ingredients?
I would say, yeah.
So here's a batch that has five times more mRNA in it, whatever. Here's another batch that has only 10% that much. Could these be quality control issues? We've seen garbage in the vials. We know that's there. So how do we know that they are actually able, or if they even care, to make each batch identical, or at least in the configuration that they're looking for? How competent are they? What are we to think?
Yeah, it is. It's a big question mark.
we're not going to know.
You would think in time that, that they worked out those issues, but, you know, there's no transparency here.
None. Zero.
All right. We're just supposed to take it on faith.
Good. Yes, you bet. Here's rolling up my sleeve. I trust you, Doc. Don't worry about it. Go ahead. I want to be safe. I want to be able to fly. I want to be able to go to the ball game. I want to go have my friends over for dinner and fun. And go ahead. Let me have it. Man, they're still getting shot up every day, people. They're not quitting.
Oh, they're racing to get their boosters now.
You're not fully vaxxed if you have two shots now. Remember, this has been lie after damned lie from the beginning. Nothing but lies. And it's never going to stop. You got to understand that. You are living in a world of liars and lies. You can't trust anyone except maybe yourself. And sometimes that's questionable. You never know what they're doing to us. EMF, I think that's a big factor. Okay. What we're going to do is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny was on Mike Adams today, and she had a couple of good things to say. So I'm going to play some of that and then see what you think about it. Anything you want to add first, Erica, or are we ready to go?
No, let's get into it.
Okay. All right. Mike Adams with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, released today. Here we go.
The entire medical establishment denies that this has anything to do with vaccines.
It's absolutely mind-numbing because it's like that is the $64 million question. I mean, how can it be? I mean, when you listen to people like Dr. Peter McCullough, who say that we released these shots in December of 2020, and by March of 2021, 2 months of use, we had enough data to pull them off the market then. And now we're 10 months further into this with 10,000 more people. I mean, we're 10 more months into this with millions of more people being injected. And now we dropped it into teenagers. Now we're dropping it into 5-year-olds. And the study that came out of Pittsburgh, out of the Salk Institute, I think it was probably July or so of this year, that said that they unequivocally knew that the spike protein itself, irrespective of virus, just the spike protein itself was causing endothelial damage in the heart muscle, which is the lining of the blood vessels, direct damage to heart muscle, and that it was causing ongoing damage. And we can measure that in troponin levels, which is a blood test. And when I pulled up the VAERS database, Mike, this was about 6 weeks ago now. I mean, time is so compressed. Of the almost 600 young people that had been severely injured or killed by these shots with heart damage, one of the people, a 16-year-old, had experienced cardiac rupture. And when I sent that to Peter McCullough and I said, cardiac rupture in a teenager? I mean, Peter, how can this ever happen? What happened? And he said, well, the messenger RNA inside of the Pfizer shots continues to literally drill holes into the heart muscle itself to where it becomes so weak that the muscle just gives out and just ruptures. And wow. We know that, just to back up to the 40 mechanisms of injury, you know, Mike, I've divided that.
Okay, let me make one little comment here and get a remark from Erica. Sherry Tenpenny has come up with 40 different mechanisms of injury with the bioweapon injection. 40. She said she could find more if she had more time. Erica?
Yeah, I think 40 at this stage of the game is a conservative number. I'm familiar with the ones that she's listed so far, and I could probably add another 40 to it.
And we're only 10 months into this. That's why I continue to say over and over again, the level of sophistication, satanic sophistication in this weapon is staggering. We don't have any idea what these toxins ultimately could do over time, working together, creating a reaction in your body, and then reacting with that. We don't know. It's really unprecedented, this whole thing. All right, back to Sherry Tenpenny.
4 categories. The first category is immediate death. like Tom Rentz and his 45,000 people that died within 3 days of getting a shot, and more than 50,000 seniors that died within 2 weeks of getting a shot. So what are those immediate deaths? They are heart attacks, strokes, blood clots to the lungs, anaphylactic shock. So people die within minutes to hours to just a few days of getting the shot. That's category one. So a lot of people might think, well, I got a shot and I'm just fine. Well, category two is what the spike protein can do to you. It can punch holes in your blood-brain barrier and cause various types of dementia and brain dysfunction. It can cause direct damage to the heart, like we've been talking about. It can cause direct damage to your lungs. It can cause multi-organ internal damage and actually inflammation to any internal organ, including your liver, your kidneys, your pancreas, which can cause liver failure, renal failure, or insulin-dependent diabetes. So there's about 12 different mechanisms that the spike protein can cause itself. Infertility, it can attach to the ovaries and the sperms. It can cause rashes. The list goes on and on and on. Category three is the antibody that develops to the spike protein. The antibody itself can cross-react with at least 28 different known tissue types, causing autoimmune reactions and long-term autoimmune disability through molecular mimicry. And that is one of the reasons why, and I'll just plug this in here, monoclonal antibodies are so dangerous, because they are a short-term solution to a potential long-term problem. Yes, it can neutralize the virus if you've been infected. It can neutralize the spike proteins if you've been had a transmission event. It's a short-term solution. But just like a whole lot of this other things, we don't know how long those monoclonal antibodies last. And if they only last for 3 months, what damage do they do in that interim period of time to those at least 28 different organ types in your body, including your mitochondria, including your lung tissue, and all of those things? So injecting the shots creates spike proteins that can kill you now and in the future. The antibodies to the spike proteins can kill you now or in the future. Why would anybody take a dose of monoclonal antibodies to feel better faster if it could potentially kill you down the road? And then category four is all these other types of autoimmune dysfunctions and the cancer-causing problems that I think is something that you wanted to talk about.
Okay. A lot of things in there you just heard from Dr. Tenpenny. Let's start with monoclonal antibodies, which are being hailed by a lot of people, all right? She made it seem like you shouldn't be hailing it at all. You should be staying away from it. Your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I've heard the same thing. It's tempting because it will. They will give you instant relief from the damage that the spike protein is doing, but it doesn't stop the production of spike protein. In fact, I have read somewhere that the way that antibody will interact with your Fc receptors was going to change the way or make the disease worse in the long run.
This is crazy.
Wow. I agree with Mike. It is just getting to be crazy. Okay, she made four points there, and I'm not sure if I can remember the others in order. But she did make some very important observations, and I just am really unable to come to terms with how diverse and diabolically evil this thing is. Have you ever run across anything seriously that can come close to this mRNA spike protein combination and maybe the actual infection of the digestive bacteria? This is overwhelming.
It is, and I've said it once before, maybe twice, that this has the potential of being an ELE, an extinction-level event. I mean, they have introduced a transgene that codes for a lethal protein. I mean, I have no compunction about calling it lethal at this point. This spike protein does so much damage all by itself, and now you're turning people into factories for it. So they're poisoning themselves, possibly poisoning others in the environment, and now creating species of bacteria that produce toxins when they are exposed to this transgene. And these these toxins that the bacteria produce are potentially lethal in and of themselves. How do we get rid of it? It's here to stay.
It's going to become endemic. It already is endemic, in my view. I don't see any way to get rid of this. I don't think it was designed to be gotten rid of. I don't think it was designed to be anything less than an endemic part of the biowarfare which is being waged against us by the international globalist elite at the very top. And as I've said before, I have a source, and I asked if it went to the top and stopped there. I said, or was there an off-planet involvement? And the answer came back, yes. And
they're not letting their foot off the gas. I mean, this is just, it's going.
No.
It should have stopped. It never should have started to begin with, but here it is, and we're almost a year into it, and now come the boosters. So they're not letting up.
And the boosters. And when they get tired of pushing boosters, and the people don't take the boosters, or that many people have died off, and yes, I think it's quite easy that I think now the 3 million who have been murdered in this country, and that's the word for it, murdered, are very easily hidden in a populace of 340 million people. That's not a problem. I think they could probably hide 40 million dead in this. When you have two or three or four, it's actually about six, corporations that control all of the media, the world is your oyster. You can do whatever you want with it. You control it. Because people are screen addicted. That's
yep.
That's the whole truth. Here's another one. mRNA, bioweapons, they call them vaccines, dramatically increase endothelial inflammatory markers and ACS risk as measured by the PULS cardiac test. A warning. Warning. So there you go. It's a paper. It's in Circulation, I guess, which is a journal. And it says, again, mRNA COVID vaccines dramatically increase endothelial inflammatory markers as ACS risk as measured by the PULS cardiac test. Any familiarity with that?
No, not per se, but, you know, none of that surprises me. I mean, the inflammation that ensues...
Right.
After these injections, it's no surprise. I mean, the body's trying to protect itself. You know, one way it does that is to increase inflammation to still an area, protect
sure.
itself.
Sure, sure. It's a paper. It's up in headlines for any of you who would like to take a look at it. By all means, do. So let me go back to my earlier piece with Dr. Tenpenny and advance it. Hold on, I'm going to turn this volume down. Oh, and keep your eye on that volcano on Las Palmas. It is not going away. 60 days on now, and the lava flow is astounding. It's gone into the ocean now in a new area, wiped out many more buildings, many more banana plantation buildings as well, which is what those large buildings are. They're still talking, and there is nothing new by way of any diminution in the number of earthquakes. It's almost as if the universe were trying to shake that loose to have it fall into the Atlantic, it couldn't be doing much more. It's really a remarkable thing to watch. That's why I leave it up on the homepage. You're seeing something you'll probably never see again. Okay, hold on. Let me get this set here. Do you get a chance to watch the volcano?
Every day. Yep, every day.
It's fascinating. Well, we share that interest. I hope a lot of people get a chance to look at it. Okay, let's see. Here we go. All right, let's go onward and see what we get.
With your initial question, when you said, how many mechanisms do we have now? We're only 10 months into this. Several of the epidemiologists and immunologists that I spoke to earlier this summer about these mechanisms of injury, and they, said Sherry, we are in deep trouble. You know, the cardiologists out of Canada, Dr. Beidel and, you know, Dr. McCullough are saying, you know, this ongoing heart damage is going to cause massive deaths of congestive heart failure, cardiomyopathy, like you initially said, those studies of myocarditis. Within the next 3 to 4 years, everybody that's gotten these shots is going to be dying of heart disease.
Now think about that. And little Lord Fauci announced last week that he was moving forward to be able to begin injections of newborns. How can he be walking the planet? This guy is making, everyone always likes to talk about the big Holocaust in World War II and Hitler, but they avoid the 60 million that Stalin killed. They don't talk about the Holodomor in Ukraine where 36 million died. They don't talk about that. But this guy, Fauci, is going to surpass all of them. You got billions of people now injected. I think it's 2.5 billion. Maybe it's more than that. I haven't looked lately. But these people are probably going to die. They're certainly going to die sooner than they should. So if you knock off 2 billion people, how do you rate in any other way than the all-time mass murderer in known human history? And this little twerp is walking around like he is God's gift to medicine, America's doctor. No, America's butcher. America's educational executioner. He's teaching people to die. Take your shot and you'll die. And these poor people don't know what they're doing, a lot of them. They really don't.
No, there's still an astonishing percentage of the population that actually lauds and applauds him.
Oh, it's amazing. I really don't want to hear about evil Hitler anymore or any of that when we've got Fauci. This guy is leaving them all in the dust. All right, back to Dr. Tenpenny.
And so, including teenagers and six-year-olds. And so we've got that. And so now as we go on and we look at more and more and more damage of what this bioweapon has done, people don't understand that this is a bioweapon. This is a they've come after us with something through a needle. And we've been conditioned since the 50s and the 1960s that war is when bombs are falling out of bellies of planes, or when people are shooting guns down the street, or rolling hand grenades, or, you know, Navy ships are bombing you or something like that. That's war. People don't understand that this is a bigger, more deadly type of war. And many of the immunologists, as I was saying, said that, well, it's not just the first 3 years, Sherry. We're in trouble for the next 10 to 15 years, maybe forever. Every single person that's gotten one of these shots is always going to have to look over their shoulder of what type of illness or disease is going to be developing in the future.
This is what has really struck home, even in my own research and writing.
Okay. All right. I think that's the point she made, and it's very important. These people who have taken this injection, this bioweapon, will never be off the hook. They're always going to have to worry. And I think that's part of the reason there is so much hate toward the unvaxxed. I think many of the vaxxed realize at some level that they have really blown it. And so what are they going to do? They're going to hate those who withstood the pressure and have not been injected. That's where it's coming from, a lot of it.
I think you're right. I mean, you can't take this back. This is not a vaccine you can detox from.
No, and we would be the first to tell you if there was some... I honestly think of being in a dark forest at night, and I'd look for a little glimmer of light somewhere. Something. There's nothing except darkness. I hate saying that. It's not my nature. But I'm not going to lie to you. I would never do that. I never have. There is no way out of this. And if I hadn't been told by a certain source over 3 years ago all about this and what was coming and to get prepared now, I would be much less informed and much more ignorant about this. But I took it seriously, and everything I was told has come to pass. So we will not mislead you on this program, ever. Never have, never will. And I am glad to see other programs picking up things that we have released, especially Erica, here on this program. They pick it up, that's fine, just so the information gets out there. But believe me, this business of alt news is full of thieves. Oh, man. Most of the sites out there are compromised one way or another. And just, I'll leave it at that.
So, yeah, it's we're at an unfortunate nexus, I guess, in our history.
Yeah, you want to shorten it up to ELE, potential? That's the nexus we're at.
We're there. Everything I see indicates that. I
All right, and we don't take any consolation in that. We agree on that. It's not fun, but we have an obligation and an honor to be able to present as much of reality as we can to you, as we're able to decipher it. Remember, we're on the outside here. They know what they're doing. They know the game. And I do not trust them. I will never trust them. They are evil incarnate, these people, behind this whole program, led by Fauci, led by Gates, led by Bourla, you name it. It doesn't matter. They're all in it, and they all know. They know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. That brings me back to this. Should I do this Chinese thing real quick or hold that off? What do you think?
Let's leave it for perhaps
okay.
Wednesday.
All right, we'll do that. Okay. All right. Another actor died today. There's some TV series called The Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. This 28-year-old star of this, I guess two or three stars, died. He just died. And when you see no cause of death, or you see died unexpectedly in these stories, you know what killed them. They're dying of the kill shot. They're dying of the bioweapon. And these people in hospitals, as you heard from Nurse Anne, who will be back with us soon, maybe next week, they're dying like flies. And we don't even know how many people are dying at home. You die at home, what happens? Somebody, a relative, a friend, whatever, calls, and they send the meat wagon out, and you're packed away and driven away. Is that reported to VAERS? Nope.
No.
So we don't know how many are dying. We can only project. And I will suggest that what is to come is going to be beyond belief. Horrific.
My concern, what I anticipate now, being the fact that we're coming into flu season, they are promoting the flu shot, the quadrivalent flu shot, together with a COVID booster. I think this is going to be a prescription for disaster.
Yeah. Doctor called me yesterday, said that, I don't think I told you this, I forgot part of it. Somebody came in and had the flu shot in one arm, and I think the third shot, the bioweapon, in the other arm. And that's not to say for a moment that, and I think I can speak for Eric on this, we believe that the potential is there for this quad flu shot to have been messed with, that there's something else in there. We don't know. No one's checking. Fair enough?
Well, let's assume that it is what they say it is, being an attenuated, four strains of flu.
Four, yeah.
Attenuated, just attenuated, not inactivated, but just attenuated. the flu, influenza, has this unique tendency to reassort with other viruses. That's why every year you get a different type of flu, because of this genetic reassortment that they're prone to. Now you've got a injection known as a COVID booster, providing a piece or a code for a fusion protein that could be uptaken by these attenuated flu strains. And now you've got some kind of chimeric flu / coronavirus.
Or Johnson & Johnson is your shot of choice, and then you get the quad flu, and you've gotten an adenovirus, which is supposed to be allegedly inactive, right?
But or incompetent, replication incompetent. There's no doubt in my mind that can easily regain competence under the certain conditions. Yes.
And then you got chimera. You got a chimera circus going on. You got four attenuated flu vax components. You got the adenovirus. People don't have much of a chance. Back to what this doctor told me real quickly. Go ahead. Did you have something else you want to add?
Well, I just want to say that I don't think it's a coincidence that for boosters, they are not recommending the J&J. They're recommending Pfizer or Moderna. And if I had to guess, I'd say it's because of this potential for that mRNA in the Pfizer and Moderna to be uptaken or reassorted with these flu viruses. You wouldn't have that with necessarily with the adenovirus.
And then what happens? Influenza being highly contagious. Now you've got a chimeric, one of the four, on the loose, being spewed by exhalations and so forth, just like any normal flu.
And then these recombinations happen more readily in people who are immune suppressed, which is anybody that's taken the shot right now.
You got it. Well, you nailed that one. All right, this doctor called me yesterday, and he said somebody came in, he took the third shot in one arm, and he got the quad flu in the other arm. Same time. And he asked the patient about something or another, and the patient asked him about, well, do you think I'm magnetic now? And the doctor said, well, I don't know, but you want to try it? Okay, so he got his magnet. And he put it on the arm. Now, this is going to be interesting to all of you. He put it on the arm of the, I think he put it on both arms. And he got the result on the arm that got the bioweapon. That's right. That's what it was. So he put it on the arm that had the bioweapon. I think it might have been a third shot. Didn't stick. But he watched where he placed the magnet and traced back to the same spot on the guy's arm where he had put the magnet originally and held it there for 20 seconds. And the second time he went back to the location where he originally held it for 20 seconds, the magnet stuck. So what do you think?
I think the magnet drew the iron to the
location.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you've got something the magnet likes to stick to. Iron aggregating at a location. It was pulled there, enough of it to make the magnet stick. So think about that. This again, is so complex. And we're trying to keep it as simple as we can for you. Just take care of yourselves. Eat good food. Cut the crap. You must. You can't. Most people. Go ahead.
It should be noted that this magnetism phenomenon was happening before the rollout of the vax. So where or how people are becoming magnetized is still, I guess, unknown. I mean, we could surmise that it's just coming from the environment, particularly in urban areas, aerosols, chemtrails. It could be coming from the food, because iron oxide nanoparticles are used as a preservative. But the areas where people tend to be magnetic are the neck and chest areas, sometimes the forehead. So it seems to be something that maybe people are breathing in.
Good guess. Good guess. Well, that's what happened in that one case. When he went back the second time with the magnet, it stuck.
Yeah.
Not the first time. So here's a little footnote for all of you to think about. Okay, Erica, thank you. Great program as usual. And we'll be back at it Wednesday.
Okay, Jeff, my pleasure. Good night.
Good night. And good night to all of you. Thanks for being here. We will be back tomorrow night in 21 hours. Talk to you then.